be titled Valleys. So if you're taking notes, this is our note card. You can do that. Hallelujah. Valleys. But before I get into that, I want to give you a story that's going to kind of launch you into it. So I want to tell a story about my life. When my dad passed away, I found out I was going to be the executrix of a will, of the whole shabam. And I also found out real quick that was not fun. I've decided, matter of fact, I told my kids, when I go home to be with Jesus, if we all don't meet him at the sky, I'm going to pay a lawyer so you guys will love one another later, based on my experiences. So let me tell you what had happened. My mom had passed away when I was quite young, and then my dad passed away later. So, ta-da, I'm the oldest. He says, hey, you're the executrix of the will. So I was like, okay, I bought a book. It's probably called Executrix for Dummies. And Jack and I opened up this book and we did it together. And I found out immediately three things. One, this was not a blessing to be one of those people. Two, I found out that what I thought would have been really easy turned out to be a terrible thing for several reasons. One, my family did not know the Lord Jesus, so they were not walking in love. And actually, they were quite expressive in some vocabulary quite often to me. You know those beep, beep words? My own flesh and blood. And all I was doing is telling them what Dad said out of the will, all right? And the second big kicker of going through this difficult time is my dad, as my Aunt Florence would say, God rest his soul, but my dad had written a second will several years before, since my mom had passed away. He wrote a second will, and he didn't sign it. And that was the one that was left at the house. And we were like, oh, here's the will, yay, yay. And as we read the will, they found out I was no longer in the will. My dad had actually told me about that, and he said, I'm not leaving you anything because I know Jack will always take care of you, but the rest of those bums, I got to leave them something. That is a quote, what my dad said. He was going to leave a couple thousand dollars, like $1,000 to my kids or something like that. I'm going, but the bums, you're going to leave that. So, you know, you don't argue with your dad. But guys, so that was the second will that wasn't signed. So guess what? Throw it in the garbage, right? It wasn't signed. So we had to go to the original will, and everything was divided equally. Ta-da! I was like, okay. So that was kind of the big problem, is because my siblings read the second one, and they weren't too happy. Well, Dad didn't want that for you to have that. I was like, well, tough, baby. This is the one that's signed. Okay. So I have to tell you, I was kind of going through a terrible time through this whole shabam. And I called it my valley experience. So AKA, that's what our message is about. And in the midst, though, it's in the midst of going through this horrible, terrible, sisters telling me nice words over me, you know, I found out something amazing, that God did something amazing in my life. In the middle of my valley, God was working in my life in me. So I want to talk to you about valleys today. So title of the message is Valleys. And anybody going through a valley, like some difficult drama stuff in their life, praise God. If you're not on a valley, that means you must be on a hill. But the reason why I want to go over valleys, I believe there's hope in the midst of going through these rough places, these valleys. And that's what this whole thing is about, telling you there is hope when you find yourself in a valley. And actually, the best part is I want to tell you that God wants to connect with you while you go through it. That's the best part. God is wanting to connect with you when you go through it. So when I say valleys, especially we're talking about valleys in the Bible, there's valleys listed in the Bible, and they're actually real places. Now, I've not been to Israel. Anybody been to Israel? One person. It's not even on my bucket list. I have a couple other things I want to do in life, okay? But valleys are listed in the Bible are real places, and they had real events happen there. But they also are sort of this metaphoric thing going on, that these valleys, down here represent not good times. So the valleys represent not good times. The Bible also talks about hills and mountains. And guess what they represent? The good times, right? They talk the good times. So when they talk about the hills, they're really talking about good times and mountaintops, okay? Now, how many of you like being on the hills and the mountaintops? How many of you like to just camp out there? In the middle of that executive thing, I was sitting there thinking, man, I'm getting out of Dodge. I just want to camp out. But it didn't happen that way. And what I want to tell you, and you're probably going to go, thanks, Pastor D, but we all go through valleys. Depending on what words you like to call it, and I'll give you a couple words, but we all go through valleys in life, and we all wish we didn't have to, right? I wish I never had to go through that. That's why I told my kids, I will pay a lawyer to get rid of this whole thing. I'm not letting you go through that, all righty? So the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about four valleys that are listed in the Bible, but I'm going to teach a lesson about each one of them. So today, we're just going to tackle what is a valley, what does a valley do to us, all righty? So if you're taking notes, this is the main thought I want you to understand so clear that when you walk out of here, you'll go, oh, this is what she meant. I remembered it, okay? So write this down. Our darkest moments produce God's greatest movements. Valleys. Our darkest moments, valleys, produce God's greatest movements. All righty. Now, I've learned this in my life. I bet you a couple of you have too. You've learned that in the midst of a valley, God comes in and wham, and he just produces some good things. So what is a valley? It's like the worst place you've been walking around in, happening to your life. I like to say it's the worstest and it's the darkest. And in the middle of the worstest and the darkest valleys, guess what? That's the greatest time for God to come in and show himself to you. And I want to tell you guys, God loves to show himself to you and help you. Amen. Praise good preaching, Pastor T. All righty. Would you all open up to 1 Kings chapter 20? 1 Kings chapter 20. This is the valley we're going to talk about. Or I should say, this is a story about a valley we're going to talk about. 1 Kings chapter 20. We're going to start in verse 23. But let me give you a little background. 1 Kings chapter 20. At this time in Israel, they had a king. His name was King Ahab, and he was just weak, weak, weak. All right? And later on, he becomes bad, bad, bad. But at this time, he's just a weak king, and he becomes a bad king because he marries the wrong woman, Jezebel, and she just takes him farther and farther from God. But at this present time, he's like, somewhere like that, weak, all righty. So we've got the king who's weak, and then we've got another problem going on in Israel at that time. At that time, Israel only had 7,000 men in the army. Guys, that's not good, all right? So they have got a really low number, 7,000 guys in the army. And at this chapter 20, they are being attacked. Israel is being attacked, and they're being attacked not by just one army. Guess what? They're being attacked by 32 other nations. 32 other nations join up to attack Israel. And, excuse me. And they get together and they go, oh, goody, 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 let's just wipe Israel off the earth. Yeah? And you know what? That's still going on today. There are people that still are after wiping Israel off the face of the earth. But getting back to our story. So these 32 kings get together and they're like, we're going to whoop Israel. And they go to the hills. Okay, so right down hills. We're going to talk a little bit about hills. They go to the hills to attack Israel. And God supernaturally shows up and defeats these 32 kings, these nations, these armies, okay? So he defeats them, and they start running out of there, and they're thinking, what on tarnations happened? You know, they only have 7,000 guys. Okay, and let me tell you what they said. Verse 32. Meanwhile, the officials of the king of Aram advised him, their gods, this is him talking about what happened. This is their conversation about what on tarnation happened. Okay, and he says, their gods are gods of the hills. That is why when we were too, that is why they were too strong for us. But if we fight them on the plains, plains is another word for valleys. Okay, if we fight them on the valleys, surely we will be stronger than they are. So listen to what happens. They're coming up with another strategy. They're coming up with another strategy, and they're like, wait a minute. We fought them on the hills, but you know, their God, he was so strong on the hills. I bet if we fight them on the valleys, in the plains, on the bottom of this place, that their God's not so strong, and we can go defeat them. That's kind of what that conversation went. Now, how many of you have ever had sort of the same thoughts? God, you know, God, I know you're just so strong. I'm up on top of the mountains and it's just awesome up on the mountains. I'm having these good times. Everything's going good. Gosh, my finances are good. My job's good. The relationship with my spouse is good. My body's even doing good. Man, God, I just love you. Yeah, I just love you that I'm up on the high places with you. God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for our food. Okay? Sometimes we get like that because we're up on the hills. Okay, we're up on the hills. Okay, but then the valley happens. And we get jumped into the valley, and that's where we're going, God, where are you? What happened? Don't you love me? Where are you? Okay, so that's kind of the mentality we have with valleys. And this is what I want you to understand. In our darkest moments, the valleys produces God's greatest movements in our life. And this is what's going to happen, all righty? So verse 27, you ready? Verse 27. When the Israelites were also mustered and given provision, they marched out to meet them, the 32 nations. Israel camped opposite them like two small flocks of goats, and the Arameans covered the countryside. All right, Pastor D, what does that mean? Okay, so again, the Israelite army only had 7,000 guys. But the 32 nations that joined together, it said they had over 1 million soldiers. How do you like them odds? All right. And then we just read they divided their groups, the Israelites. They said, okay, what's half of 7,000? Yeah, the math wizards are over here. Okay, so they divided, the Israel army divided their to two divisions. So half of them went over here, 3,500 over here, 3,500 over here. And then we got the million of the bad guys, okay? And so I'm choking on my spit. Sorry about that. So we've got them split over here. You got 1 million of the enemy coming after you. Do you think the king's a little scared? Just a little bit. Do you think the army's a little scared? Yeah, like they're shaking in their army boots, right? All right, they probably are. I think I would be too, okay? But listen, this is what I want you to understand, that what God did there, by the way, just go read the rest of the whole chapter. I'll give you one more script. Go read there. They ended up by winning. God supernaturally came in and they won. And what God did for them, he wants to do in our life. All the time, he wants to show himself great when we're in these dark places. But we have a responsibility. But I'll get ahead of myself. Okay, verse 28. The man of God, so this is a prophet that came up and told the king Ahab this. He said, this is what the Lord says. Because the Arameans think that the Lord is the God of the hills and not the God of the valleys, I will deliver this vast army into your hands and you will know that I am the Lord. Okay, that is just bananas. What happened? 1 million against 7,000? And they did. They won. God came in and just smeared them all over the place. Okay, so I'm thinking here, like, how do I get this across to you that you can take it and run with it? So I thought of these three things you have to understand about valleys. Three things you have to understand about valleys so that you will include God in your walk. through the valley. If you don't understand this, you're just going to like, God's no good. God's this, God's that. So I want you to understand these three things. Number one, ready? Write this down. Valleys are not from God. How many of you already knew that? Good, good. You were smarter than I was about 40 years ago. Write that down. Valleys are not from God. Valleys are not from God. Guys, God didn't give you a valley. God still doesn't give you troubles in your life, okay? And you have to be so settled on that, because I told you you're going to run into some valleys in your life. And unless you know that you know that you know that God doesn't cause these things and give you these things, all right, unless you know that, you're going to get mowed over. All right. So God doesn't cause the valleys. All righty. Now, anybody remember when you first received Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life? Anybody felt like you were on this honeymoon experience? Like, I love you, Jesus. Everything's wonderful, Jesus. You know, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I love you. I love you. And then the first trouble hits you. Bam. Okay, this is what happened to me. And then I thought, God, why are you doing this to me? I thought you loved me. I did. I really did. Okay, then I kind of grew up a little bit. I finally read a Bible, got to know who God was, all right? And I found out it wasn't God doing these terrible things that were hitting my life. But my next God was God. Why are you allowing this to happen to my life? God, don't you care about me? God, I'm one of your kids. Okay, so I really got upset with God. I did for quite a while there, until I finally grew up. And what do we say? Put on your big girl panties. And Pastor D, you shouldn't say that at church. Okay, so... Okay, thank you, Jody. All righty. So again, I got upset with God, and we're going to deal with that. We're going to deal about that. I'm upset with God. Why did you do this? Later on today, okay? We're going to get to it. But for starters, number one, valleys aren't from God, and they come from five sources, okay? So good. We are smarter than a fifth grader. We know they're not from God. But where do they come from? They come from five sources. Number one, ready? They come from our enemy. We have a spiritual enemy, right? It's not your neighbor. It's a spiritual enemy, okay? We have an enemy. And if you look at 1 Peter 5:8, just write it down because I'm going to read them to you. Here we go. Be on your guard. Stay awake. Your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion sneaking around to find someone to attack. So guess what? We have an enemy. His name is Satan, all right? And he is looking for your guard to be down so he can attack you. He's looking for your guard to be down so he can attack you. And if you're doing something for God, man, he really wants to attack you. If you're out doing things for God, and he will try to stop you for doing and walking with the Lord. That's just his mission. That's just his mission. Joyce Meyer says this, new levels, new devils. Anybody ever hear her say that? So if you're doing something for God, you're growing with God, she's telling you, guess what? You're going to have some attacks, all righty? I like what my friend says. When your faith breaks loose, all hell breaks loose too. But, okay. So, guys, we have an enemy, and I don't want you to go home afraid to turn off the lights and go to bed tonight. Okay, don't anybody do that. That's not what's good. That doesn't happen here. But I will tell you, I have an enemy, and write this down. He hates you, period. He hates you. He hates every human being. He hates everybody on the planet, okay? Now, why? Why does he hate me? I think I'm a lovely person, especially after I've had my coffee. Why does he hate you and I? Why does he hate everybody? Well, I'll tell you why. He was one of the top beings that God created, right? His name, before he was Satan, his name was Lucifer. And he was created along with these other guys, Michael and Gabriel. They were called the archangels, okay? So he was created by them, and his job, God, the reason why God created him was to lead worship all in heaven. Shoo, Nevin, a little pressure. You got to lead worship all in heaven. Whoa, that would have been glorious, okay? You get to lead worship all in heaven. And the Bible says that God made him so perfect and so beautiful. But what happened was one day he says, man, I think I can take God down. Okay, and he gets one third of the angels and they go in and they try to overthrow and take over heaven. Okay, but we've got Michael, the warring angel. He comes in and he just smashes them and they are thrown to the earth. Okay, now let me tell you why he hates you, because his future isn't bright. It's maybe a little bit because it's hot, because he's going to be in the lake of fire, right? But his future's not too bright. He's going to be tossed away. So that's why he hates you. He just hates you because of that. He hates you because God loves you. He hates humanity because God loves you and his future doesn't look so hot. Now, here's what he's doing. If you don't know Jesus personally, you've not said, Jesus, come into my life, be it and be my Lord of life. He wants to make sure you never meet the Lord Jesus as Savior. So he does everything just to keep that away from happening in your life. Okay. The second thing, if you have met Jesus, you know what he wants to do? Guess what? He wants you not to walk with God. He wants you not to fulfill plans and purposes, which as we talked about last week. So that's his mission, all righty? He'll try to tempt you. He'll try to distract you. He'll try to just bring bad things in your life. So that's where some of your valleys come from. That's number one. Guess what? There's four more where your valley comes from. Here, write this down. Number two, your valleys could come from or can come from the broken earth. We live on a broken earth. Pastor D, what are you talking about? Well, write down Romans 8 and I'll tell you about it. Broken earth. We live on a broken earth. This is Romans 8. It says that the creation, that means the earth, the universe, everything, okay? The creation itself will be liberated, set free from its bondage due to decay, brought and bought into freedom and the glory of the children of God. So this is such a cool chapter, and what it's talking about is that all of creation is just falling apart. It's dying. All of creation, all of these things, and that's why we have volcanoes that erupt. That's why we have hurricanes. That's why we have tornadoes, all right? And it's because Adam sinned, and sin entered the earth, and now the earth, the universe, is just falling apart, okay? It's actually dying. Now, we have a dying earth, and it can throw us into a valley. How many of you remember the hurricane we had come by here a couple years ago? It's about 4 years ago. Okay, anybody have flooding in their house, their basement? I talked to people, they had two sump pumps and they all went kablitch. And we got hit with tons of rain. Actually, the rain came down and the floods came up. What happened is we had so much rain up here, the water went down to the offices. We had a tear out drywall. I was out shoveling stone trying to fill it. It was a mess in my yellow rubber boots and all that stuff here. But that because the earth is broken, it put me into a valley. Anybody get put into a valley during that rain and all that? Joan had, the whole street was flooded out. They'd come suck out the water. It would go out to the streets and would come back in. It was just a mess. West Philadelphia Street. What a mess. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the broken earth can put you into a valley. That's number two. Here's the third source for putting you into a valley. Ready? Bad choices. Number three, bad choices, right? We walk through valleys sometimes because we made a bad choice. We made some bad decisions, all right? Even as a Christian, you can make some bad decisions, open up some wrong doors, and you can get yourself into a valley, all right? But you know what the greatest news is? Even if I got myself into this dark valley, I made a mess, God loves to show himself great and help me get through it. And he's not shaming me. Oh, you did it yourself, girl. You can just sit in your flooded basement, okay? He's like, he's just loves to show himself great and help you through it. Praise God. All right, number four. The next reason that will get you into a valley. Ready? You're going to love this. Bad people. Guys, there's many levels of bad people, aren't there? I mean, bad people could be the guy that your daughter's dating. Gosh, that guy's a gee whiz, all right? Okay, or it could be you had a business partner and you found out he was stealing, lying, cheating, son of a gun. Okay, bad people. We have bad people. Years ago, good friends of mine, they got robbed. They came home, they'd gone out that night, and they come in the front door, and this is back in the day when we had stereo units. Anybody know what that is? I should say, who doesn't know what a stereo is? Some of you, yeah. Okay, he had this big Mambo, it was like his you know, pride and joy, and he walks in, he goes, huh, maybe I moved it, I just can't remember. Duh! Then he walks into the kitchen with his wife, and the microwave's list is gone. Then they walk upstairs, and these people pulled out all the drawers and stole jewelry and stuff like that. So bad people can throw you into a valley. Yep, right? Not that it wasn't anything they did. We just got bad people, all right? Bad people. All righty. Now, this one is called number five, imperfect people. How many of you are imperfect? How many of you have made a mistake before you even got here? Praise God, we're imperfect, all right? I'm working at getting good, but we're imperfect people. And let me read you this one. It's found in Ecclesiastes 10:9. When you work in a quarry, stones might fall and crush you. When you chop wood, there's danger with each stroke of your axe. Pastor D, what the heck is that talking about? Listen, we live in a world and people are imperfect. And somebody could be in the machine shop making this axe and they didn't do a good job because they're imperfect. And then I buy this axe and I get hurt, somebody gets hurt. Imperfect, okay? Anything could happen because we have imperfect people. I'm going to tell a story about my nephews, and I think it was Stephen, and I wish he was here. I have permission to tell this story. Imperfect, 16 years old, and he's got his car up at their Mount Zion Off-Roads, the shop that at that time his dad owned, now his brother owns, and he's changing the tire, putting a new tire on. And of course, you know those guys with their Jeeps, it's got to be bigger and better and all those great things. You need a ladder to climb up. So he puts on this wheel, and they probably live, 2 miles from the house, from the shop. So Stephen's driving, left the shop, imperfect people left the shop, and he's coming in his neighborhood, and the tire falls off. Guess what he forgot to put on? And it bounces, kaboom, 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 and lands on somebody's car. Okay. Imperfect people will put you in a valley. Should have been around for the conversation with Uncle Jim. Praise the Lord. Imperfect. Okay. Imperfect. We're imperfect. We just things happen and we end up in valleys. All right. Let me tell you two more things about valleys. Valleys are inevitable. And guess what? They're impartial. Valleys are inevitable and they're impartial. Okay. I'm going to read to you Psalm 34, verse 19. Psalm 34, verse 19. The good man, raise your hand, hallelujah. The good man does not escape all troubles. Whoa, he has them too. Ah, but the Lord helps him in each and every one. Don't you love the ending? The Lord helps you when you've got troubles going on, when you got valleys, okay? So you can be the best person. You can be living for the Lord. You can be serving the Lord, going out doing things, and you're still going to end up in some valleys. Things are going to happen in your life. That's all it says. But I like the last part. But the Lord helps us out of all of them. Now, I don't pray for valleys. Please don't pray for valleys, okay? Don't pray for them. But I will tell you, once I get in them, And I'm walking through some of those things, like with my siblings on this whole executor thing, which took like about a year. I was like, can we get through this, Lord? Get me out of here. Let's wrap this baby up, okay? Because guess what? I don't enjoy valleys. I don't. Matter of fact, I kind of hate them, all right? But I'll tell you, God is still the God of the valleys. God is still the God in the valleys. He is looking to help you get through them. So praise God. I can't wait to have him get, you should see what I got going on now. Alrighty. Okay. The next thing that I need you to understand about valleys is what do valleys do? Write that down. What do valleys do? What do valleys do? All right. Better yet, why, Lord, why? How come I'm in this valley? Well, number one, we found out valleys are not from, right? So number one, I know they're not from God, but then I'm going, well, God, why, God, do you allow me to be in the middle of one of these things? Why do you allow that? And now listen, that is a tough question. It's really kind of a deep theological dig out the word. But I'm going to try to just break this apart really simple. Hopefully when you leave, you'll be less confused on the allow part. All righty. So open up to John 16, verse 33. So what do valleys do? What do valleys do? What do valleys do for us? John 16, verse 33. Okay, this is red letter, so who's talking? Jesus is talking. He's talking to his disciples. He's getting ready to leave them. He's given these. He is just smashing them with all sorts of last minute instructions, and this is what he says. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on the earth, you will have many trials, sorrows, aka valleys, right? Dark places, okay? Here on the earth, you'll have many of these sorrows, trials, valleys. But take heart because I have overcome the world. So what he's telling you, guys, you are living on the planet and you're going to run into some trials, some sorrows, some valleys in life. That's just the way it is. But I'm going to give you peace in me. You're going to have peace in me. When you stay with Jesus, you walk with him, you won't be all freaking out. It says unshakable. All righty. Okay. All right. I like that, Jesus. But God, why? Why? I still don't get why. Like, I know the troubles aren't from you, but Lord, why am I going through this? All right. This is the best way I can explain this to you. How many of you played sports? Play sports or used to play sports? Anybody play football, soccer, swimming, field hockey, baseball? What's that frisbee thing you call now? What's it called? Okay. Now, I don't know about this one. Ping pong. All right, here we go. Question. Did your coaches ever send you to the weight room? They sent you to the weight room, all right? Okay, why? Why do they send you to go into the weight room? They want you to get bigger and stronger muscles, right? They want you to do that. Okay, what happens in the weight room? Number one, it was not fun. Well, we goofed off. It was a lot of fun. But when the coach came in, it wasn't a lot of fun. Okay, it's this thing called resistance, right? You're lifting weights. You've got resistance. You're lifting weights. You've got resistance. You got resistance. And you know what that happens when you've got resistance? It starts tearing down your muscle, the little skinny thing I have. And then if you have a rest period, it will then make it bigger, stronger, and you got these muscles. I wish Brian Eckenrode was here. He's like, you gotta see, he's a weightlifter, all righty. So, here we go. What happens when you have resistance with your muscles? They grow. They grow. When you have resistance, they grow. And listen, guys, what's this have to do with the valleys? God had so much confidence in him, in you. God had so much confidence that him in you would help you grow, that you could walk through these things. Okay? It would help you grow. Praise God. So valleys, dark moments, guess what? They're not from God, but God knew that if he could walk with you through these valleys, you would grow. How many of you walk through a valley and then it usually takes a while till you figure out you've been through it and you turn around and you go, man, I grew from this. You'll grow in your character, number one. You know, I usually find out my love life gets growing when I've gone through a valley. When I get through it, I'm like, wow. So character and a whole bunch of other things grow in your life. They grow in your life, all righty? So write this down. What happens with valleys? Why do we have them? They grow us. They grow us. They grow us, all righty? They grow. So look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4:12. So I'm going to give you three things that happen to valleys. They grow us, number one. 1 Peter 4:12. This is out of the Message Bible. It says, friends, when life gets really difficult, you're down in the valley, you're in the dark place, things are hard. Okay, so when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. How many of you have done that? God, you were with me on the high places. God, where are you now? I can't believe I'm your favorite. What did you do? How come I'm still here? All right, sometimes we get like that. All right. We start jumping like, oh my gosh, where is he? All right. But you got to read the verse, the next verse, verse 13. It says, instead, be glad you're in the very thick of it. What? Did I read that right? Be glad you're in the very thick of a valley. You're in the thick of a dark place. You're in the thick of a trouble. Shoot, I want to tear that page out. But it says, instead, be glad that you're in the very thick of what Christ experienced. Okay. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, you'll have trouble, you'll have valleys. And he said, but be of good cheer. Guess what, guys? Jesus had troubles when he walked this earth. He was lied about, persecuted, just horrible things, not to mention what happened on the cross. And listen, he made it through it. He made it through it for us, okay? So you could say he walked through the valleys. Praise God. Now, if you keep reading, it says, these valleys, these tough times that we have, this is spiritual refining. Spiritual refining with glory just around the corner. Well, the glory around the corner is when you meet Jesus, then you will not have any more problems, okay? But while you're here, it says you've got some spiritual refining to do. And I like to write this instead. Spiritual growth is happening. While you're in the middle of this, spiritual growth is happening. I saw it in my life, okay? Now, you have a choice when you're walking through this. Now, you can have spiritual growth, or how many people do you know they got bitter with God? They're in these tough times, and I'm not downplaying. Some people are going through some really hard times, these dark valleys, and they get bitter with God. They're like, well, if that's God, that's it, I'm done. All right. They walk away from God. Anybody know people that have walked away from God because they just had some really hard times in their life? Man, I do. All righty. But listen, when you understand that God is the God of the valley and he's there to help you through it, he's there to show his greatness and bring you through it. You're like, okay, all right, we can do it, God. You can do it, God. I'm going to just hold on to you. All righty. So praise God. He is the God of the valleys. Everybody say that. Now, again, when I'm in the middle of the valley, I hate them. All right, I am going, are we through yet? Did we get through it? But I'm always cracking up eventually going, wow, God, you brought me through what I thought was such an impossible situation. And I just want to give you thanks. Praise God. So he's the God of the valleys. Praise the Lord. And he's going to grow us. Here's the second thing that happens in a valley. So he's going to grow us. And the second one is he's going to prepare us. He's going to prepare us. All righty. Write down the scriptures, 2 Corinthians 4:17. If you read verses like 13, 14, all that whole thing, 2 Corinthians is written by Paul, and he's listing all the horrible valleys he's been through. Matter of fact, yours looks like nothing. Okay, he was like, I was stoned, I was beaten, I was shipwrecked, you know, all that stuff. Anybody been shipwrecked and stoned and beaten yet? Okay, so he's writing this to us and he says, He says, these little troubles are getting us ready for eternal glory that will make all of our troubles seem like nothing. Oh, thanks. But these little troubles will make you feel like nothing, all right? So when you're going through them, I hate them. I want them to be over with. I know God didn't do that, but I know God's going to help me. And I also know they'll prepare me for what's down the road or the next step. How many of you have been through some, like a real season of just horrible? And then you get through it and you go, all of that was to where God has me over here. Oh my gosh. And had I not gone through that, I wouldn't have been ready. Case in point, David. King David. Anybody know about King David? King David. Okay. Before he was King David, guess what? He was a little old shepherd boy, right? He's on the backside of some pasture watching sheep and all that stuff, all righty? So you talk about being prepared. There was a time while he's watching the sheep, he says, a bear tried to attack one of my sheep. And God helped me with supernatural strength, and I killed that thing with my bare hands. Imagine that. And then there was another time a lion tried to attack the sheep, and I was able to defeat it with the help of the Lord. And then because of those seasons, then there's this guy called Goliath, right? And David goes... Okay, short story. How do I tell a short story? I better look at my notes. I can do that. So Goliath is calling out all of Israel. He's calling them all sorts of bad names. And David goes to King Saul. He marches up and he says, hey, king, I can take care of this. And the king says, no, you can't. You're just this little shepherd boy. And he says, no, God prepared me for such as this. And what happened? He killed Goliath. Right? He killed Goliath. So praise the Lord. Now, all of that, you know, killing the bear with the help of the Lord, guys, supernatural strength came on him. And the lion and Goliath prepared David to be who? The greatest king Israel ever had. So I hate being in my valleys. I want to, but I know God didn't do it. But if I will get this attitude, God, you're doing a work in me and you're preparing me. And sometimes he doesn't tell you what he's preparing you for. And I want to go most of the time, don't even tell me. I don't even know what you got planned, right? Sometimes I want to know the plans and purpose of God. But why, in the midst of these valleys that we go through, just know he's growing you. He's preparing you. And he's got places for you to go and purposes and some other things to do. So everybody say, I love the valley. No, I don't. Okay. But I'm going to go through the valley. Okay. Praise the Lord. Last scripture, second to last scripture. Y'all probably know this. Everybody know Psalm 23? Okay. First time. Now, I was raised in a denomination where they didn't hand out Bibles. So the first time I heard this was at the funeral of my grandmother. It's the first time I ever heard it read. And later on, I read it, and I'm like, there's some good stuff. It's not associated with, oh, my gosh, grandma's dead. All right, so I just want to know there's some good things, and we're going to pull it out. Psalm 23, verse 4. Psalm 23, verse 4. Okay, Psalm 23, verse 4. Write down verse 4 and 5. But this is the last thing I'm going to give you that valleys do. Number one, they grow us. They prepare us, and listen to this last one, write it down. Valleys display the greatness of God. Valleys display or show the greatness of God, how great God is. In the middle of your valley, they'll show how great God is. Okay, so Psalm 23, verse 4. Even when walking through the dark valley, the King James calls it what? The valley of the shadow of death. Everybody know that one, right? So this is, I'm reading out of the Living Bible. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding me and guiding me all the way. All righty. Now, remember I started this, the very beginning, I said the valleys that are in the Bible that we read about are, many of them are actual real places. Who wrote Psalm 23? David wrote this, okay? And he's telling you this was a place that he had experienced, a real place. This is a real place, the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And you know what? Where it was and when it happened? It was back when David was a shepherd boy, right? He was a shepherd boy, and there's this valley of the shadow of death where he had his sheep from one side, and I'm getting ahead of my story, okay? So really fascinating about this valley. There's certain parts of the valley that the walls, like the mountain walls, are 800 feet high. 800 feet. Certain parts of this valley of the shadow of death, there are real walls that are 800 feet high. And I looked, I Googled, Google, what does that mean? And it's just a little less than 3 football fields long. 3 football fields long is 900. Pastor D, you're just so full of trivia today. Okay. But I just want you to get this picture. Okay. Like 3 football fields high are these walls. 3 football fields are these walls. And there's these paths through the valley. We got the walls and there's some of these paths. Some of these paths are only 10 feet tall, like a little bit more than that, right? And he's got to get a herd of sheep through them, right? David's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He's a shepherd boy. Besides the walls and the narrow paths here, there's caves and caverns. And lions and tigers and bears. Oh no, right? And that is where David experienced the bear in the valley of the shadow of death, okay? That's where he experienced the lion that God helped him defeat. So when he's writing this, it's like, oh, so cool. Now you read it again, you go, even walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guiding me, guarding me all the way. Can you see it now? And listen, guys, that's what he wants to do for every one of us. And when we're going through, like, just terrible things, hard times, long times, he wants to be in the middle of those dark valleys. And by the way, I was just thinking about that. So you got these big, tall walls. Okay, guess what? There's no sunlight. It's not able to get there. So that's why he calls it the dark. It's dark in there. And he's walking there, and God is being his light. God is being his God. God is showing him through all of that. All right, verse 5. One more. Verse 5. For you provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. You have welcomed me as your guest, and blessings overflow. Praise God. He's not talking about steak and lobster kind of food, okay? He's not talking there about natural food. He's talking about in the midst of the valley, God will provide spiritual food, a.k.a. Bible. The Holy Spirit will talk to you, you know, and stuff like that. Okay, he's going to provide those things. And in the midst of the valley, I've had this happen to me so many times, in the midst of just some really tough places, God says his blessings were coming upon you. Okay, in other areas of my life, it may not have been, you know, this. I always tell God things. God, I want you to do this. I wrote the program, you should follow mine. And God's going, Dee, I'm blessing you over here. Huh? Yeah, over here, look over here. Okay, so this scripture says, even though he's guiding us, he's walking you through, he's pouring his blessings on your life. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Okay, last scripture, write down Joel chapter 3. Joel. I was at a meeting a couple weeks ago, and the guy was from Georgia, and he said Joel, and I thought he said Job, and he said Joel. I said he thought he said Job. He had such a Georgian accent, and so I'm going to spell it Joel, J-O-E-L. Okay, Joel. Joel 3:14. Listen to this. Multitudes in the valley of decision. Write that down. Valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. I'm going to wrap up right now. I want to talk to two people groups. Ready? The first group I want to talk to is Christians. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, I want to talk to you because I believe there's people here and you're in the valley of a decision that I'm not blaming God for why I'm here. I know, God, you didn't put me here. I know, God, that you didn't cause this. So you're in a decision, and you've got to decide that so that you will allow God you'll allow yourself to walk with God to help you through. All right? So I believe there's people in that decision here. And I'm telling you, if you allow the Lord, he will help you through. Instead of being mad at God, I can't believe I'm still here. God, I thank you. You are with me, guiding me, and you're going to help me through. Praise God. That's your valley of decision. Secondly, I believe the other the people group here is maybe you are here and you have not asked Jesus into your life. And I believe today's the day for you to make that decision so that he will come. He's just standing at the door. He just loves to be in your life, to guide your life, to help you through and to bring you through. So praise God. Maybe that's your valley of decision. So let's just pray. Everybody just close your eyes. Someone says, Pastor D, why do you tell everybody to close your eyes and bow your heads? I think it's about a reverence to God. We're going into the throne room of God. God Almighty, who loves us, created us, loves you so much. And you know, I am not attention deficit, but it does help me when I close my eyes. I get focused, all right? So just close your eyes. You're going into the throne room of God. It says he has prepared a place for us to sit right next to him, right? Okay, are you in there? You're sitting right next to him? Father God, I thank you for all the believers here. I thank you that you are the God of the valleys. And you grow us in valleys. I thank you, Father, that you are not the God of bad things, but you're the God of all good things, and you will help us through these places. I thank you, Father, that you strengthen us, you give us peace in these valleys, and I thank you, God, that you are the deliverer, and no evil shall befall us, and no plague will come nigh our dwelling, in Jesus' name. Now, everybody just gets really still and say, you know, I just believe that God's talking to you. Some of you have got to have a conversation with him and say, you know, Lord, I've been in this valley and I really just was ticked off at you because how come I'm here and why is it taking so long? Well, today you've got the truth and the Bible says the truth will set you free. So just go, God, thank you for setting me free. Father, I know you love me. You hold my hand. You guide me. And I thank you that we're coming through.